Fitter and Longer with The Fitness Show, hosted by fitness expert, author, and TV personality, Fitz Kohler. She'll tell you why diets are dumb, supplements are snake oil, and the truth about how you can earn a lean, hard, pain-free, and athletic body. Now, for our favorite bossy blonde, Fitz Kohler.
Hi, team. I'm Fitz Kohler, your fitness expert from fitness.com, and welcome to the very first episode of The Fitness Show. I am ecstatic to be here with you, and I say with you because I know you're out there listening, and I'm excited about that because I love teaching to the masses. So the more listeners I have, the more lives I have the opportunity to impact, the more that makes me happy. So this show has been a long time coming. It's been on my agenda for a while, but I have two very busy businesses, both Fitness International, where I teach fitness via mass media, and I work as a speaker and a spokesperson and do other things, race announcing. And then I also own The Morning Mile, which is a B4 school walking running program for children, and that's in almost 200 schools throughout the USA, Canada, and Japan. And as you can imagine, those things keep me pretty busy. But being able to just communicate with you this way is, oh, it's so relaxing because I do a lot of writing and I love to write, but it's not as easy to communicate with the written word. And then you got to edit, which requires me to sit down for a very long time. So that's kind of a pain in the can sometimes. And then I do a lot of television, and I love TV because it does give me that mass audience. But the bad part about TV is that I have to brush my hair and I have to do my makeup and all of those things, which can be a little bit of a pain in the can. So as far as you know right now, just think of me looking whatever it is that my best is, whatever you think my best is, imagine me that way. But I'm actually here in a messy braid with very little makeup on, and that makes me extremely happy. So welcome to the Fitness Show. So what are we doing here? What are we doing here? Well, my mission is to help you live better and longer, and I'm going to do that by telling you the truth. Within the fitness industry, within the past few decades, you know, there are so many thieves, so many people who now I look at as genuinely bad people who have bastardized what real fitness is. And real fitness is just eating wisely and exercising often and doing the right sorts of exercises. You got to do cardio. You got to do strength. You got to do balance training. You got to pursue flexibility. But movement is key. And then rest. Stress management. Those are the basic principles of having a fit body. And how many people out there are trying to sell you these shakes? I'm sure if you're on social media, every day you get some sort of pitch by some snake oil salesman, which is your neighbor who really works as a bikini waxer. And now she's trying to sell you these nutritional shakes. Where in God's earth does she get off selling these quote unquote nutritional shakes, which is just nonsense? And then there's the bozo who's a truck driver for a living who's selling you diet pills. He's not even in good shape, yet he wants to convince you to give him $100 a month to pop his pills. And if I sound angry, it's because I am kind of angry. I mean, I'm offended by it. And you know why? Because I actually care about you. And I understand what it's like to be and a body you're frustrated with. And when someone comes to you and says, hey, I have an easy answer, trust me, I'm going to get you where you want to go, and I'm going to help you lose the weight you want to lose, just take this pill, it pisses me off for two reasons. A, they got your hopes up on a product that is never going to get you to your goal and will likely do harm. And they're taking a lot of your hard-earned money. And I know money doesn't come easily. And a lot of us, you know, we worry about paying the bills and so forth. So yeah, I'm a little bit furious with those people, and I'm not very nice to them, and don't expect me to be nice to them. If you're going to listen to this podcast on a regular basis, you're going to hear me rant and say some ugly things about those ugly people selling those ugly products, because they're the modern day snake oil salesmen, and it makes me angry. So hopefully if I do nothing else, I'll convince you to save your money. And you know what? If you have money to just throw in the garbage because you want to get rid of the money, though, then PayPal me. You can just send me your extra money that you don't want instead of supporting these bozos. So we're going to talk about that And one of the things I'd like you to think about is the statues, you know, the Roman statues or the statues in Greece and Russia with these beautiful men. In fact, I just saw an incredible statue of George Washington in the Smithsonian American History Museum. George Washington was actually quite buff. There's a statue of him with no shirt. Looking good, George Washington. So anyway, think about those statues, and they're built like we would imagine the gods to be built. And actually, they're built like modern day fitness competitors, CrossFitters, bodybuilders. They're in tremendous shape. They did not have a supplement store. They did not have protein powders. They had none of that stuff. You know what they did? They ate off the land, and they lugged stones for a living. That's how they got those dream bodies. They worked. They did manual labor, and they ate goats and chickens and fruit and then some bread. I think some bread was invented back in the day. But yeah, that was it. That's the big complicated trick to fitness is lug stones and watch what you put in your mouth. And then the other good example I'd like for you to think about is Oprah Winfrey. Wealthiest woman in the world, I think, and she could have anything in the world she wanted, except for that dream body of hers. I mean, the poor girl, I love her. I'd love to see Oprah be very successful, but Oprah keeps looking at all of these, I don't know, weird products as the solution to her lack of fitness and her weight issues. Her weight issues is she's not watching what she puts in her mouth. And I think she does exercise. She probably just doesn't have a trainer like me. But yeah, she has all the money in the world. If a magic pill existed, she would have it. If a magic shake could help you lose weight, she would have it. And she would still be strutting her stuff in those size 10 Calvins. You know what I'm saying? So first and foremost, remember, there are no easy answers. There's no products you can buy to get you into the shape of your life or help you lose weight. It's going to come down to know-how and discipline, determination. And I'm going to share with you the exact formula for weight loss. In fact, I'm not going to go into that too much today because this is more of an intro episode, but go to fitsness.com. That's fitsness.com and search exact formula for weight loss. That you will see, that will help you find your exact caloric budget personalized to you and your needs to help you find exactly how much food you should be consuming each day and what types of foods you should be eating. And then I also have tons of resources to help you exercise appropriately. So that's important. And then what else? I want you in that lean, hard, athletic, pain-free body you're dreaming of. I want you there and I can get you there. I've been working with people for 25 plus years. I started as a teenager and I have left millions of people fitter in my wake. And I'm very proud of that. And I have a lot of people on a daily basis that reach out to me and say, Fitz, I met you 2 years ago. I've been doing what you said. And now I'm down 40, 50 pounds. And then I have some people I met last month and they're already down 20 pounds. And then I have people who run marathons and do Ironman and they're getting faster and their runs feel better and they're out of back pain. They have no more back pain. And that's another component of fitness is that you should feel good. You know, it's not all about looking great in a swimsuit. Sometimes it's just about being able to sleep at night or sit in your chair at work without pain or being able to wrestle with your kids and go do fun stuff. So we are going to talk about all of that. In fact, I have a bazillion shows planned out for you and we will talk fitness. We will talk hard nuts and bolts fitness, but we will also bring in some celebrities to chat about what they do for fitness. I've worked with, oh my gosh, everyone. I've worked with Olympians, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Williams, golly, who have I worked with? I've worked Cameron Matheson, The Wiggles. The Wiggles are the best and they're actually, I consider them good friends. So I'm hoping they'll come on the show, but we have a lot of fun athletes, musicians, actors that will bring on the Fitness Show for you to get to know and find out what they're really doing for fitness. And I don't like to talk about me. That's kind of not my shtick. It's Fitness is about you. It's about how I can help you live better and longer and achieve your physical goals. However, I had a wake up call a couple of years ago. So I have an agent. His name is Evan. And I call him my jerk. I love Evan. He's a great guy, but I'm too soft in business sometimes. And he is that perfect combination of pit bull that I need. He's super smart, yet he's got that edge and I love it. So I adore him and I adoringly call him my jerk, but this is how it goes when I meet Evan. So we had interacted a bit online, then we set up a phone call, and he said, "All right, Fitz, I've looked at your stuff, but tell me about you." And so I go into what I think is the most relevant parts of me being a true fitness expert. And so I say something to the effect of, "Well, Evan, I have a master's degree in exercise and sports and sciences. I've been teaching fitness around the world in 17 countries for over 20-something years, and I work on television. I'm a corporate speaker. I do spokesperson work. I have a children's running program, and blah, blah, blah." I don't know what else I say, but I throw out the credentials that I think are important to you, because there's a lot of, fitness. You basically don't need any legitimate credentials to be a fitness trainer. In fact, all of you out there in podcast land can make a business card today, call yourself a personal trainer, and there's nothing wrong with that. So I want people to know that I am a highly credentialed, educated professional who can legitimately help you. And so I think that's very impressive. And Evan goes, "Okay, Fitzkohler, do you mind if I'm frank with you?" And I said, "Yeah, please, I prefer it." And he goes, "I don't know who the F you are," but he said the big word, and I go, "Oh, okay." He goes, "So what did you tell me? Where are you from? Are you married? Do you have any kids? Were you always this fit? I mean, what's your deal? Were you fat?" I was like, "Yeah, I'm from Fort Lauderdale. I got two kids and I used to be overweight." He's like, "Thank you. That's what people need to know." And I said, "Well, why do people need to know what my deal is? Because it's what I can teach them that matters." And he said, "No. In order for people to trust you, they need to know you. They need to know that you've been through what they've been through. You know, when they hear that you are a working mom with two kids and you used to be overweight and you lost 45 pounds, then they will trust you, they will empathize with you, and they want more." And so I don't like to talk about myself. However, today I'm going to dedicate some time to letting you get to know me, because that's probably part of the deal, right? You probably want to know a little bit about that. If not, I guess skip to the next episode. But I'm going to let you know about Fitz. So I grew up in the all-American family, youngest of three. I was the third. My brother's 9 years older, my sister's 6 years older, so I was pretty far behind. And I was raised by two loving parents, and we were in sports. We were a very active family, but we were raised with the typical, at that time, American meal. So there was always beef and pork and chicken on the table. There was always butter on the table. I started my days off with, sometimes on a fancy day, it was eggs and bacon and buttery toast. And the other days, it was Lucky Charms or Fruit Loops and whole milk. And I would come home from school in the afternoons, and there was always bagel bites, the little pizzas, and there was M&Ms in the deep freeze. My sister would sell them with her soccer team, and there was always M&Ms, and I would come home and eat a bag of M&Ms and a whole box of bagel bites and four Slim Jims, and, you know, I just kind of had too much access. We also had soda. Lots and lots of soda, a lot of full calorie soda I had access to. So, you know, my mother also provided fruits and vegetables. And I do always remember there being citrus on the table. We're from South Florida, and, you know, the fruit in Florida is fantastic to begin with. There was seafood. I ended up being turned off to seafood, but, you know, she did her best. And they didn't know as much back then about fat and calories and saturated fat and cholesterol as they do now. So I know she was trying to just get me those balanced meals, and technically they were balanced. But I started off as a string bean, and, you know, I had a big sister who, she did some nice things, but then she really did some mean things. She kind of had a mean streak, and I was the glutton for punishment, and when it came to her. And so I was a scrawny little thing. And I remember, to get on my nerves, she would say, you're fat and you suck at soccer. And she used that as a mantra. And if I heard that once, I heard that 10,000 times throughout my childhood. So, you know, it stuck with me and it hurt my feelings. She was my big sister and I thought she was cool. And I also thought she was annoying, of course, but she was a star soccer player and she was very pretty. And so every day when she would tell me, you're fat and you suck at soccer, of course it took its toll on me. And I think I recall going to the beach with her. I was about 10. She drove. So I was either 10 or 11. But at that point, I was wearing T-shirts at the beach to cover up my swimsuit because I thought I was overweight. And then she would go from saying, you're fat and you suck at soccer, to, why are you wearing a T-shirt? Isn't that stupid? You're at the beach. And I would look and say, but you just told me I was fat. And so yeah, I was messed with quite a bit as a kid. And my mother, who's, you know, the best mom in so many regards, dedicated to her children, would fight for her children, really provided a nice lifestyle for us and everything. But she was very concerned with her image and so forth. And she was the one who would say things like, I'm fat, I'm ugly, talking about herself, which is just not a good role model for your kids. I became that little girl who thought I was fat, I was ugly. And, you know, I just had some forces working against me. So puberty hit and those bad eating habits kicked in. And then I started to become bigger than I should be, bigger than my body needed to be. And yeah, it was rough. It was rough. I was athletic. I was playing soccer. I was never the soccer star, but I was always on a soccer team playing 3-4 days a week, and my body was still growing. I started getting hips, and I was getting a belly, and my boobs were ginormous, and it was just weird. It was weird. I have a 13-year-old daughter right now, and thank goodness she has really good eating habits, and, you know, I'm cognizant of bodies are strange, so I'm hoping to help her through that in a much smoother way than I had access to. But yeah, so my body starts changing, and I'm not a string bean anymore. I'm starting to fill out in these womanly ways, and I didn't like it. I didn't like my belly, and I didn't like my boobs, and I didn't like my hips or my bum or any of those things. My thighs were squishing out, and it was tough. It was tough. And I know you women out there and you men who have body parts you don't like, you think about it all the time. You know, you go shopping and nothing fits right, and I wanted to wear the really cute bathing suits my friends were wearing, but things, you know, just were squishing out. And so teen years were tough. They were tough. And as I went along daily, my sister stuck with, you're fat and you suck at soccer. And it just continued to take its toll. So I started teaching fitness at, I actually started at 15. So my job previously was Cinnabon in the mall. And I think it was just when I turned 15, I was able to get a job there. And so I would roll the cinnamon buns out. You know, people would come and watch me do it because it was very exciting at the time. I think it was a new business. And then I would go in the back and I would eat the frosting. Oh, their frosting was so good. And then when there was excess cinnamon buns available at night when nobody had purchased them, we were able to take them home. And of course, that didn't do anything good for my hips. But I worked there probably about 6 months, and the manager was really mean, and finally I decided I'd had enough. So I quit Cinnabon, and backtrack a little bit. I was attending a gym at this time. When I was 14, I got tackle playing soccer, tore my MCL, and did a whole bunch of other damage on my right knee. So I had gone to physical therapy. This is 14 years old. And physical therapy for about a month before surgery, because the surgeon wanted to see if maybe something would heal on its own. And I remember thinking, wow, I really like this. I could be a physical therapist. I loved that they were helping people. I love that gym environment. I thought it was really cool. And then I had the surgery, and the damage inside was much worse than the doctor even predicted. So I have a pretty large scar in the inside of my right knee, but I was on a cast. I was in a very long cast from my hip to my heel for about 10 days, and then they cut the cast off and they pulled the staples out, which were about 30 something staples. And the doctor sent me downstairs back to the same physical therapy place where I thought I may do this one day. And then the physical therapist started picking the dry blood and scabs off the inside of my knee. And I thought, blah, never, ever, ever. I would never do that because I'm squeamish, and that was disgusting. And then I started imagining all the yucky parts PTs had to touch. So that went out the window. I decided no PT for me. But I pursued physical therapy, and I was actually there at least 6 months rehabbing this injury. So I learned about strength training and stretching. I really learned about a lot about how the body works. And when I was done with that physical therapy, my mom was guided to have me join a gym so I wouldn't re-injure myself. And she lied. She told the gym, the spa lady of Margate, Florida, she told them that I was 15. I was really only 14. She lied so I could join. And so I started going to the gym and I'd do strength training and I would take aerobics classes. Oh, and I thought those aerobics instructors were so cool. They had the greatest leotards and they had the leg warmers and the high top shoes and they had the scrunchies. Oh, I thought it was fantastic. I just really, really thought they were cool girls. So I would do classes and I really enjoyed it. And fast forward to me quitting Cinnabon, I thought, well, I'll try to get a job at the gym. And so I applied and I remember the gym manager, Chris, saying, have you ever taught aerobics before? And I said, no, but I do aerobics all the time. I was in physical therapy. I learned a lot about how the body works and I'd be willing to learn. And this is maybe a Monday or Tuesday. And he goes, okay, well, do you want to come in Friday night and teach a class? I just looked and said, okay. And thank God I did. He goes, okay, come in and teach the low impact class Friday at 5:30. It was a 30-minute class. So I went home. We had these big mirrors, and I remember practicing my grapevine and my knee lifts and whatever it was to the jazzy aerobics instructor music. And I showed up Friday at 5:30. And I told the women in the class, I said, listen, this is my first time teaching, never done this before, so I'm going to do my best. And when I'm done, just let me know how you think I can improve. And so I taught this class, about 25 women in there, and it actually went pretty well. We had a lot of fun. And afterwards, I got great feedback. People said that was a good class. My recommendation is to wave your arms around a little more. Be more creative with your arms. And then another bit of feedback I got was be louder. And, you know, it's funny. I look back and I think, oh my gosh, I can't believe at any point in my life, I was never loud enough. But I changed that quickly. And thank God we've grown into quality microphones. But it started me off on this profession. So it was great. I'm so grateful for my knee injury. Because if it wasn't for that, I don't know if I'd be here. And that is a sad thought. So I look at my knee, this big scar on the inside of my knee now, and I'm very grateful for it. So perspective, sometimes things change. I used to think the knee brace and the knee injury was a big sad thing. Now I'm thrilled about it because it's really changed my life for the better. So I start teaching aerobics, and I'm still kind of gaining weight. You know, I still have this body that's mushy, squishy, too big. I got these boobs to deal with while I'm bouncing around teaching high impact aerobics classes. And I still have this sister ripping into me. And it wasn't just my body. My lips were too big. Go look at my pictures. Tell me if my lips are too big. I don't think they are. Even back then, I thought, you're crazy. My hips might be too big, but these lips of mine, they're normal. But anyways, it was rough. I was a typical teenager and I fell prey to it. And so sadly, at I think about 16, I became a bulimic. And ugh, that's not a very pleasant thing to do to yourself. That's not very pleasant and it's abusive and it was ineffective. It never changed my weight. It never helped me lose weight. It just made me feel bad. And so I was a binger and it wasn't nice. It wasn't nice at all. And I continued to do that until college. So I'm going through high school as Happy Fits. Everybody knows me as the happiest girl. And behind the scenes, I'm, you know, throwing up and doing stupid things like that and beating myself up. And, you know, it wasn't very nice. And so sometimes people look at me and they go, oh, you're thin or you're skinny and you don't know what it's like. I do know what it's like. And I can think back to those times and remember, and it was awful. And so if you're out there in my podcast land and you're feeling bad about yourself, I know exactly where you were. And I just want to let you know that I understand. I know what it feels like and I have the solutions for you. And I wish I had had a me back then. I wish I had someone who came and told me the truth and gave me the legitimate options on how to lose weight, how to get fit, because I would have taken those directions. But maybe the information just didn't exist back then. Maybe I just didn't have access. But, you know, I was exercising all the time. But because my eating habits were pretty abysmal, I never got where I wanted to go. I never saw results. So I go through life. And mind you, I was never obese. I was just squishing out. You know, by the time I hit college, I was about 40-something pounds heavier than I am right now as a grown-up. I remember buying Bongo jeans that were size 15 or 16. And so I have been in between a size 0 and 2 for the past 20 years. And I don't say that to throw out the number, but I just want to let you know what a stark contrast there is between me then and me now. And it's a lot easier to be me now. I'm not doing any suffering, any struggling. I eat healthy. I exercise. I feel good. And that's the way it is. But anyways, I go to college and I'm still teaching fitness. I come to the University of Florida. I audition at their gym, the Student Rec Center, to teach aerobics. They instantly hire me and I was pretty good. So I'm glad they did. And I'm teaching aerobics and there becomes an opportunity to join this group called SAVE. It was Students' Attitudes and Values About Eating. And basically, it was an eating disorder education group. And I'm just a freshman. I had just gotten there and I thought, yeah, I'm going to go do that. And I don't know what compelled me to go try and counsel other people or teach them about eating disorders because I was the poster child for it. Of course, nobody knew, but maybe it is who I am. It's just I'm drawn to help people and people I empathize with especially. So I'm taking part in this SAVE organization where I go to the dorms and I teach other students about eating disorders and why they're dangerous and all the negative side effects and so forth. But I'm not really getting through to myself. And I had this friend, Missy, and she was in my dorm. And where was I? I was in Broward Hall at the University of Florida. So if I have any Gators out there, I was in Broward Hall in the basement. They called it the Virgin Vault. We were the only floor that didn't have both girls on one side and boys on the other. We just had girls. But I had this girl, Missy, and Missy's another great story. But Missy was the funniest person I had ever met, and she lived maybe 6 doors down. And we hung out a lot. And Missy was pretty overweight. Missy probably was 40, 50 pounds overweight in her freshman year, too. And I loved her. And I had still been doing my thing where I threw up and, you know, high performance bulimic at that point. And I remember I got sick in my dorm. I don't know what it was. I think it was in my actual dorm room because the bathrooms were occupied. And at that moment, I just thought, this is awful. What am I doing? This is awful. And then I thought about Missy, and this was such a turning point. And I'm so glad I was able to rationalize with myself. But I thought about Missy, and I thought, you know what? If Missy lost 50 pounds, would I like her more? And I thought, no, I couldn't like her more. I already loved her to the max. And then I thought, if Missy gained 50 pounds, would I like her less? And I thought, no, I love Missy. She's the funniest person. I wouldn't like her less. Her body is irrelevant to me. And I had my little aha moment where I thought, you know what? I am a good person. I am helpful to friends. I am funny. I am a good student. I'm a good fitness instructor. My thighs do not define me. I actually had this moment over the trash can in my dorm that I was more than my thighs, and I didn't need to do this to myself anymore. And so I stopped. That was the last day. That was the last day of my battle with bulimia. And I was fortunately able to talk myself out of it. But that didn't mean I instantly got the body of my dreams, but at least I stopped being abusive. And so maybe you're not a bulimic. Maybe you're not an anorexic. Maybe you have nothing diagnosable, but you walk around, you know, kicking yourself over not being physically perfect or whatever. Stop doing that because you are much better than, or you are much bigger than your thighs or your hips. And really your body has no relevance on anybody else in this world. Maybe you and your spouse or your mate, whatever it is. But even still, I think your partner's there with you because you're awesome and you're funny and you do nice things, or maybe, I don't know, whatever it is turns you on. But you don't need to beat yourself up at all. And it's unproductive. and dangerous at worst. So stop. And so I started being positive. What could I do? And so I made progress in baby steps. So one of the things that kind of inspired me is my big brother was dating a girl who was a vegetarian, and she had a great lean body. And I thought, huh, maybe I should be a vegetarian too. Now, mind you, she was also a marathon runner, but I didn't adopt that. But I did adopt vegetarianism, and that was cold turkey, no chicken, no turkey, no beef, no nothing. And I lost 20 pounds in about 4 months. And so here's the deal. Looking back, I don't think I lost the weight because I stopped eating meat. I think I lost the 20 pounds because I stopped getting the side dishes that come along with meat. So when you go to a restaurant and you don't get a steak, you also don't get a buttery baked potato and bread with butter. When you don't go and get a hamburger, you don't get fries. And so I really had gone from meat and potatoes to salads and greens and maybe some pasta too. But I think it was the side dishes that really had a dramatic impact on my weight. So I lose 20 pounds, and I didn't do it. Well, I didn't substitute the protein and iron the way I should have because I was young and ignorant, and I started having negative consequences. But I brought some meat back into my life. I started with turkey at Thanksgiving. That went well. I went to Outback Steakhouse and had some steak, which I loved, the next night, and it made me very sick. So if you've stopped eating beef, your body becomes unaccustomed to digesting it, and it becomes pretty harsh on you. So I tried beef again. I tried two times after I gave up vegetarianism, and it was too rough of an experience. So I eat chicken and turkey. Those are my meats that I eat. And no pork, no seafood. Not that seafood's unhealthy, but it just creeps me out. So that's my own little hang up there. But anyways, I lost 20 pounds doing that, and then I kind of stabilized with my eating habits, and I would eat salads and kind of follow suit the way I was before. And then when I went to grad school, I started competitively kickboxing. First, I was doing it for fun, and then I decided I wanted to compete. And even though I was teaching fitness classes and I was working out hard, I was running, I was fighting, I didn't lose any weight from fighting, from all of that nightmarish training. And trust me, it's nightmarish training. But what happened is about 9 months after I started kickboxing, I learned my first punch. I'm ready to do my first fight. We're hunting for another female full contact kickboxer, which is, especially back then, was very hard to come by. And so my trainer finds an opportunity for me to have a fight, but my opponent would weigh, I think she was going to weigh 114 pounds, which means I couldn't weigh any more than 117, and I was 131 at the time. And my trainer said, Fitz, we got a fight for you. It's next Friday night, but you would have to lose 14 pounds. I said, okay. He goes, you can make it down to 117 by next Friday? And that was 8 days away. I said, absolutely. And so I did it the wrong way. You know, I did it what you do when you're an athlete and you need to make something happen. I ate half a potato every morning, and then I did nothing other than drink Diet Coke and chew gum for the rest of every day. And I made weight. It was rapid weight loss, and it was dramatic. I remember at that point, when I started, I was in size 5. I had these jeans. I loved these size 5 jeans. And about 5 days into it, the jeans were just falling flat off. And so fight night, I make it to 117. I'm elated. I have obviously no energy. I'm fighting like Mr. Burns. So if you watch The Simpsons and you see the way he fights, the way he slaps his hands, I was not at my best. However, I made the goal weight. I was ecstatic with my size. I was finally the size I wanted to be. And so I had another aha moment that night. I go in the ring, and we'll talk about kickboxing another episode, but I'll give you this. I'm walking into the ring, and I'm so excited to fight, but he's calling my name. He's like, and in the blue corner, the one, the only Fitz, like that. And I'm walking in, and all I'm thinking is, feet, go the other way, go the other way. But I got in, Bell rang, all the nerves disappeared. Fought as well as I could. It was first time fight. I lost on a decision, but still the coolest 15 minutes of my life. I mean, that right there, there's nothing I had been prouder of up to that point. Lost the decision, but I didn't get hurt. There was no real negative consequences to it, and I was very, very proud. And they actually gave me a runner-up trophy, which is classic, because I got a trophy for being number two in a two-person event. So do with that what you want. But I think I still have that trophy. And it's not even a kickboxer. It's a girl on it in a karate gi, and I've never done martial arts ever. So whatever. The dumbest trophy ever, but I loved it. So I get out of my fight gear, and I change into my little sundress and heels for the after-fight party. And this is a card with maybe 12 matches on it. So we go to the sports bar after, and I'm obviously starving. I've lost 14 pounds in 8 days, and now I just, you know, fought. I had a fight, and I was hungry. And we go to the party, and it's got this big buffet. And the buffet, as you can imagine, is sports bar food. It's got chicken wings. It's got those greasy, curly, delicious French fries. It's got cheese sticks. It's got cheesecake. It's got all of those things, plus more. And I walk up to the buffet, and I think, looks good. And then I thought about it, and I thought about what I had accomplished and where I was. And I just thought, you know what? Nope. I am not going back. And that was, you know, besides the bulimia moment, thinking about Missy, that right there was a huge turning point in my life. I had lost all that weight. It came off. I fought hard for it, and I wasn't going to let it come back on. So I turned away from the buffet. I pulled out my credit card, and I went and I paid cash for that grilled chicken salad. And that's what I ate that night. And people just thought I was going to dive in and really eat and enjoy. And I really enjoyed my salad. And we went out to Denny's for dessert after with a group of people. And I got a little cup of low-fat ice cream. And it sounds really trivial and like a really small thing, but that was the moment I made the decision that I wasn't going to be the person who gained the weight back. And so I had to change my eating habits. And that's kind of when I became the new Fitz Kohler. I did adopt healthy, legitimately healthy eating points, eating habits after that. I never dieted again. I never had to cut weight. I never had to do any of those things. I just became a girl who really watched what she put in her mouth. I turned to massive salads, grilled chicken, turkey. I would eat pasta, but never as a main course. I would just have a little scoop on the side. And I stuck with diet beverages, waters, unsweet tea. And then I was a heavy drinker because I was a college student and I was at the University of Florida and I'm Irish and I had all those things working against me. But when I was cutting those 14 pounds over those 8 days, I still went out at night with my friends, but I wasn't drinking because I couldn't because I was training for the fight. And I realized that holy mackerel, I could actually have a heck of a lot of fun on a Diet Coke. I didn't need to drink and I didn't need to be drunk and I didn't need any of those things to have a really good time. So yeah, I mean, life changed, my eating habits changed. And one of those things that I really want you to absorb is that you can never, ever compensate for reckless eating habits. And so I was the girl, I was fighting several hours a day, I was running, I was strength training, I still was not losing weight. The second I changed my eating habits, the weight came off. And that's another reason I want you to go read up on the exact formula for weight loss at fitness.com, because that's the actual answer to you getting into the size you want to be. You know, your weight is almost 80 to 90% a reflection of your eating habits. You cannot be fit without exercise, but you can be really small. And so your weight, if weight loss is an issue to you, go read that article and you'll start making changes today. And what I want you to do is take a picture of yourself. I want you to get on the scale, write your weight down. And so next week, the week after, 2 months from now, you can track back and say, you know what, Fitz, on July blank, I listened to your podcast. I started using the exact formula for weight loss, and now I'm down 38 pounds, 83 pounds, whatever it is. Those are the highlights of my personal journey with weight. And professionally, you know, I don't think you have to have a great body to be a really quality fitness instructor. In fact, one of my favorite group fitness instructors, this woman, Lydia, is kind of overweight, but she's a great teacher and makes everybody feel happy to be in her class. And she's great at instructing folks. But I do think it's important to walk the walk. And I think you guys can look at me and go, yeah, she's fit. And, you know, it's not all about that, but it's probably vital to the career. And I don't do fitness as a job. It's actually my profession. And so, you know, I'll touch on that before we move on. But what do I do now? I teach via mass media, and my intentions are mass impact. I look at Jack LaLanne, the godfather of fitness, and he's my role model. I want to touch as many of you as he did, if not more. One of the things I feel really good about is that there is almost no way for the consumer to give me money. You could buy my core training DVD, or you could hire me for a personal consultation. But for the most part, the information I'm sharing with consumers is free. So unlike those snake oil salesmen, you know that I am giving you advice simply because it works, simply because it is good for you, and I want nothing more than for you to be successful. Corporations pay my salary, I make a living off of businesses. So they hire me to speak for their employees, to make their organization fitter, stronger, more profitable, less expensive. Sometimes I work for companies to help them brand themselves with quality, healthy habits and healthy lifestyles. And I am a credible source because I've never sold a diet pill, and I've never sold a crummy shake, and I've never sold one of those ridiculous wraps, and people can trust me. And then I work as a speaker for other organizations. I stand at the microphone as a race announcer for major marathons, obstacle course races, triathlon. I'm the girl that's there to get you all organized, excited, calm if you need that, and send you on your way. I get to say go, and then I get to move myself over to the finish line and welcome you all back with great enthusiasm, and I genuinely feel so inspired and excited for everybody running through my finish line. So I work doing those things. I also own one of the largest running programs for children in the country. It's called The Morning Mile. You know, if you are sick of our country being sick, or children across the world being sick because they are obese and they are not fit, you know, look into morningmile.com and help me get more kids moving in the mornings. It's a before school walking running programs. And basically, schools that implement the program, they provide 30 minutes for children to show up at their leisure. They don't have to be there on time, but anytime between those 30 minutes, start and stop, they can walk as slow as they want, run as fast as they want. We provide music. We provide an incredible system of rewards. And it just works. And the kids have a lot of fun. It's in preschool through high school. We actually will have a college starting soon. And I'm so proud of that. I think that's really the way to change the face of the next generation. And I'm hell-bent on doing that. In fact, my goal is to have the Morning Mile in every school, at least in America, before I kick the bucket. So morningmile.com. But this fitness podcast, it means a lot to me. I've been a guest on many podcasts, and besides not having to brush my hair, I love being able to actually communicate to you guys with expression, with emotion, with feeling. I was recently a guest on the Mickey Miles podcast. That's a podcast geared towards runners who do a lot of running at Disney. They have great endurance events, and I was able to resonate with so many of their fans and their audience members that now they've come over and they've joined my Hottie Body Fitness Challenge on Facebook, and they're working out with my Strength Training for Runners program, and they're already starting to see results. So I think this is a nice medium for me. I like talking to you guys. I hope you like listening, but I'm excited about it. And if this is something that you can listen to while you're on long car drives, or short car drives, or, you know, put in your earbuds while you're at the gym, we are going to talk a lot of nuts and bolts fitness training. And so I will give you actual news you can use today to become more fit, something that you can immediately install in your life to improve your eating habits, or new tricks that you can pursue in the gym to make things more fun or effective. And we'll bring in some of your favorites from the world of sports, the world of entertainment, and just regular Joes like yourself, Joes and Janes that are having success. And, you know, we want to address it all. There's so much to talk about with fitness and health and beauty. So if you have any suggestions, I would love them. Visit my Facebook page, Fitzness, FITZNESS. I think you can comment here on the podcast as well, but I would love to hear your ideas and address some of those topics for you. But I'm excited. I'm always excited, as you can tell. I'm a very enthusiastic girl, but again, you mean a lot to me, and I hope that I'm able to have a fairly profound effect on you, not only today and next year, but for the rest of your life. Tacking 10 years on of quality life onto everyone whom I come across has been my mission statement for a long time. So hopefully my agent is proud that I've divulged all the stuff to you. And here's the deal. I actually do love my body now. I don't think I'm perfect. I don't think any of those things. But when I was overweight, I thought so much about my weight all the time. I felt like it was a constant monkey on my back, and I could not stop thinking about it. Now that I'm in really great shape, I don't ever think about my thighs. I don't ever think about my hips. They're just hips. And I get to spend a lot of time thinking about my work and my family and my friends and all the things that are really important in life. So if we could get you to start focusing and acting, that's the other thing. You can't just listen to the good advice. You got to take it and start implementing it. But if we could get you to start doing the right thing for yourself, prioritizing you and your health in the right way, man, you will feel the monkey off your back. You will be able to spend your time and energy focusing on the good things in life, and it'll really affect everything you do across the board. So that is it for the very first episode of The Fitzness Show. I'm so grateful you joined me. I am Fitz Kohler. Please visit me at fitzness.com. And now it's your turn to get to work.